Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello! I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 124. You can find any links for this episode at the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode124. Alrighty, so today I am talking to a high school teacher in China, Nick Kalla. He is in China right now, and he's putting up a play for the first time with not at an international school, but with Chinese students who are studying to attend American universities. And it just so happens that this first play that he's doing this with is one of ours. He's putting up my adaptation of Alice in Wonderland. And when I heard this, I was like, I have to talk to this guy. So Nick really, really believes in the importance of drama as part of creating that well-rounded student. And how does that translate in another country, in another language, especially in a school where students are, they're very focused, as you'll hear, on academics. So let's get to it. All right. Hello, everybody. And I am sitting here with Nick Kalla. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Hello. Now, we have the wonders of technology working for us again right now, because I am sitting here in my house at in the early a.m. in North America. And Nick, tell everybody where you are.
I'm in Changzhou, China, very close to Shanghai. And it's in the evening here.
You've had your day already.
Yes. it's almost Thursday here.
it's amazing to me that not only that we were able to do this, but that we found you because you're doing some theater folk plays. You're doing Alice, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. We're just kind of we had auditions, and now we're beginning the process of giving the students a script and kind of getting the students to get a sense of their characters.
And are you at an international school? Are you at a Chinese school? Like, who are your students?
So my students are Chinese kids who are planning to go to university in America. So this is a kind of a private center in a Chinese school built around preparing students to go to university in America.
Wow, that's very specific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's different, a little different than an international school, and it makes for some unique challenges. I mean, the kids are all coming at things with a very different perspective than American kids.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to get into that in a second, but I just want to ask you. So how did you end up in China?
The story is this was actually my first teaching job. This is my third year in China, and I had taken Chinese in college, and but it was more or less not because of any intensive interest, more because I wanted to try something slightly different. And as I took it, I got more and more into it. But at the same time, I was taking courses in U.S. history, and I didn't really expect that they would come together, U.S. history teaching and knowing some Chinese. And when I saw the job available, I got very excited. I got lucky enough that it worked out.
Do you, I'm just me being ignorant here. So do you have to teach in Chinese, or do you teach in English?
Oh, I teach in English.
Okay.
I don't think I can teach in Chinese. My Chinese is not that good.
Okay. Now here's the twist, is that you teach history, but you are in charge of the drama club at your school.
Right.
How did that happen?
So I started out, I was not in charge of the drama club. I was kind of second in command to another teacher, Stephen Fulton, who has taught drama for a long time and who I worked with for the past 2 years as kind of his co-director. I worked under him and I learned a lot from his experience. And I personally saw the last couple of years the great effects that the drama could have for our students and the cool experiences they could gain from it. They sort of learn so much English from it, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm excited this year. This is actually my first year as the sole head of the drama club, and I'm looking forward to getting into the directing and really kind of shaping the performance this year.
Do you have a background in drama, or is this just something that you got landed into?
Well, the major background that I have, I've been a member of a drama club before, but this is my first time being the head of it. So the 2 years experience I had working under Steve Fulton really has helped prepare me, and I hope will help.
You'll see how it goes, right?
Forward.
Now, yeah. did you do it in high school yourself?
I did. Yeah.
Cool. So that's kind of where you knew the influence that theater could have on high school, because that's sort of where you started.
Definitely. I mean, I wasn't taking the lead role. But at the same time, being in drama club kind of makes you realize that you don't need to take the lead role. You can be part of a larger cast, and it can really have positive effects on your both your education and also just on your social life and your ability to kind of put yourself out there.
Well, it's kind of like it's a community, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So now let's get into what you just talked about, the positive effects, the effects that drama can have on your students in particular. It just must be fascinating to see them interact in this extracurricular activity in a second language for them. How does that? So what are you seeing when you've been watching these students take on drama?
So Chinese students, I remember when I first arrived in China and I talked to people, often people make generalizations about Chinese students that they're less creative in some way, or that they lack certain things that Western educated kids have. And for me, seeing the students take part in drama sort of disproves all those misconceptions and generalizations. In many ways, seeing them doing things like kind of figuring things out, creating small plays on their own, building scenes, kind of giving them the chance to express themselves. I mean, you begin to see that they given the opportunity and the chance to work together, to collaborate, to be creative, they have all the same abilities and they have the same thoughts. And it's really kind of opens you up to the potential of the kids and shows you a different side than you wouldn't necessarily get in the classroom.
Well, I mean, when they go out into the, if their goal here is to go to an American university, academics is really only one part of that experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Academics is definitely a big part of that.
Oh, yeah.
but oftentimes, the problem is that our program is sort of built around AP, advanced placement, sort of the exam-based approach. So they get academics 8 periods a day, and they get constant exams, exam pressure almost all the time. And they have to take Chinese exams as well. So there's a degree to which they almost overload on academics. They have roughly 10 hours of classes every single day. So having a relaxed environment where they can speak English, where they can kind of interact in ways that are not just around things that they're forced to do, is so important.
Is your administration supportive of the drama club?
Yes, absolutely. We have kind of two sides to administration. One is the English side, which is very happy and very excited to have extracurricular activities anytime that I require some space. The stage, they work with me on reserving it and kind of work with me on picking dates, figuring things out with students, making sure that I have the resources that I need. On the Chinese side, there is a little bit of tension because there's always this feeling that we need to focus on academics. But in our school's case, I'm very happy to say that we have a very good partnership where the school kind of has grown and continues to understand that academics and extracurricular activities are supportive of each other rather than in competition.
Because that's something that happens. I mean, it's happening everywhere. This is what's happening in schools in certainly in the States, where the academic is just sort of pushing every other aspect out. The arts are just going. And just to hear you talk about how important that partnership is between academics and then a place where they can express themselves. You know, you just I wish that everybody had that ability to see the benefits.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. I know in the States there are all those debates over the budget and over whether or not we can include these programs, and the thing is, in the end, I don't think my students are likely to all go on to become actors or dramatists, but there's so much value in this beyond just, you know, where you stand on the stage when it says stage left, or you know, how to say the lines. There's the emotion behind the words. There's the creative ability to think in different ways. There's just the ability to have fun in English and to think differently in a second language. And I think that we lose out on a lot when we forget the sort of secondary gains that we make when we teach drama.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly. It is. It's got nothing to do with creating actors. It has to do with, can this human being actually maybe talk to another human being and express themselves and have a little confidence? Oh, okay. So let's talk about you're diving into directing a play. What was the audition process like with these students?
So it was kind of a daunting process for me, but I think it was probably more daunting for the students. But it was really great to see the excitement. Many of the students had seen the movies of Alice in Wonderland, and they were excited to kind of take on the roles of the characters that they liked. And it was great to see them very willing to put themselves out there, especially because in an audition you have the chance of being rejected. And I think it's a scary thing in a first language. It's a scarier thing in a second language. So I really applaud the students for being willing to go up there and to know that some of them their names wouldn't be on the list for, you know, having made it and having gotten the part. So in some ways it was maybe daunting for me because I was having to decide between them. And, you know, I think that there's so much talent in our student body where I probably could have chosen several people for the same role, but it was probably even more daunting for them.
Did you, and why did you pick Alice in Wonderland? Why did you pick Alice as the play that you were going to direct?
So, There's a few reasons that I was looking at it and I was thinking about it. And part of it is that there's immediate interest from many of the students had seen the Tim Burton movie recently, and they really enjoyed that, and they really like the rich characters and that part of it. So that played into it a little bit, but also I think there's a lot of rich connections that you can make. I've talked about it with the math teacher, and they were telling me about all the rich connections with math and Lewis Carroll's kind
of please
personal...
tell me one rich connection with math. I want to hear one, please.
I'm with you there, but I think that is certainly one area where it can support that as well, and also just the fact that there's sort of this colorfulness and this excitement. There's a fantasy to it. And I think a lot of the students are already familiar with it, whereas many of the plays that are out there are more difficult for our students in particular because, they maybe haven't been exposed to some of the particulars of it, and they are already familiar with Alice in Wonderland as kind of this fairy tale world, and I think it's something that they can get excited about.
What would you, when you're seeing them sort of in a dramatic context, what do you think is the most difficult thing that Chinese students have in terms of expressing themselves on stage?
Well, let's see. I think probably the hardest part is putting themselves out there and really taking bolder steps in their acting. In part because in a Chinese school, for the most part, many of their classes, they are 1 in 60. And there's a lot of attention being paid to not standing out. And drama is about kind of removing those inhibitions, removing the kind of, I guess the word would be stigma on being different. And I think the challenge sometimes is just getting them to kind of go in 100% with their character, to take things do something that might seem like it seems stupid or seem like it will be ridiculous. And once you can build that trust where they can do something on stage that maybe, you know, their fellow actors, they might think they might get laughed at for, or they might think that they'll stand out a little bit for. Getting them past that is the toughest step, and it's the one that takes the longest. But once you do, I think it kind of promotes everybody to take that step also. So the first time that you do that is the most difficult.
And how are you going to help them do that?
Well, the biggest thing is making sure that the group is respectful of each other, making sure that, you know, if someone does something and takes that, again, takes that step where they're putting themselves out there, they're doing something that's different. As the drama club head, I try to point that out as something positive, as, you know, this was really good in some way because they took this risk. And for the most part, I find that the risk that people take, even if it doesn't work in some way, there's always something positive that comes out of that risk. There's always something where I can pull on it and say, maybe we could tweak it and do it slightly differently. But the fact that you maybe moved your hand in this certain way, or you made that facial expression the way that you did, we can change that up and make it fit. And usually I find that it's very possible to take that risk and turn it into something productive, even if it doesn't seem it on its face.
I imagine that, I would go with a stereotype and say that because these students are working so hard that they would take the whole notion of doing something wrong very poorly. But then I go, you know what? All students are like that. It doesn't matter where they are. Taking that, having when someone says to them, "Oh, that wasn't quite right. Try it again." It's a hard thing for them to overcome, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Every middle school and high school student in the world, there's a degree to which you want to fit in, and you want to kind of make sure that you're not pointed out as in some way different. And drama is about kind of beating that and saying, this is who I am, and I'm willing to take the leap, I guess.
Very good. I love that. Okay. So we'll end on, you're a new director.
Yes.
We have a lot of listeners who are in the same boat. So, so just talk about, how are you approaching this experience? How are you preparing? Are you diving in with, you and your students are in the same boat, or how are you approaching this new venture?
Well, I mean, trying to learn every day. I think I'm probably as much, if not more, a student than my students. But I think the key thing that I try and take away from each drama club meeting is that I really want to collaborate with the students. I want them to feel like this is their production as much as it is mine. Because I think in the end, more than the final product, it's about students making the play their own and figuring it out together with me. So I'm kind of approaching it in the sense of that this isn't my play. This is their play that I am facilitating. With that said, I'm sure that I'll probably be able to give you a better answer as time goes on.
That's right. Eh? It's like, my answer is, I don't know yet. But that's okay.
Exactly.
I think that, I have to say, though, that I think that approach is, it's very reflective of a drama and education approach, that process process is the name of the game. And however you get through to the end product, it's the process which is the important part for your students.
Yeah. I want the students to come away making something that they
can
be proud of. But in the end, if that isn't something that would open on Broadway, that doesn't matter as much that they are getting a lot out of this experience, that they had a good time, that they learned some skills that are very kind of allow them to succeed in campus life. But with that said, I'm confident, given the skills that I've seen and the strong auditions that I saw, that I think that they're gonna do something special.
Well, and like, it's for some people, just the act of getting on a stage and opening their mouth is a success. And I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed at how wonderful those experiences are for students. It's the reason I write for youth and for schools and student performers, because going to see a school play and hearing about somebody's, someone who's on stage, and who cares if maybe they're ready for Broadway, maybe they're not. But the process that they've had and the end result is more often than not just, it's a wonder. So yeah. I think it's great, Nick, that you are, that, you know, you're, that I think it's wonderful that you're taking on this experience. And I hope that you let me know how the show goes, and that you let me know at the end of your process if it went well.
I definitely will.
Perfect.
I'm really excited. And, I think that the students will really gain a lot from Alice and from taking part in exactly as you said, the process of creating the play.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me, and have a good night.
Thank you for inviting me. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Nick. So before we go, let's do some theater folk news. It's play feature. It's play feature. It's time to feature a play. Actually, not actually a play, but actually a whole category of plays. Jazz hands. Okay, so adaptation is, that's my thing. It is my absolutely favorite type of play to write. It's my absolutely favorite type of thing to do. And it's because it's very, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to, you know, have to figure out taking a work that was written for a specific genre and then, you know, playing the what if game with it. You know, what if this poem became a play? What if this novel became a theatrical experience? How does it work when you move genres? You know, because you just can't take, you know, a round peg and put it into a square hole. It doesn't fit. But how do you maintain the integrity of the original and yet maintain the integrity of the new form? It's fascinating. I know, maybe not maybe not to everybody, but that's the thing I like to do. And so we have quite a number of adaptations. And I think that if you are looking for material that maybe is a little more curriculum driven. If you're looking maybe for a cross-curricular element, adaptations, they're a first stop, right? The majority of our adaptations are classical adaptations. So the likelihood that they're being studied in your English class is high, very high. For example, we have theatrical adaptations of Alice in Wonderland, Through the Looking Glass, Walt Whitman's Drum Taps Poetry, which was a big bear, but a very, very satisfying bear to sort of figure out how to make this character-driven. Same with Poe. We have a play called Shuddersome, which takes on the short stories and poems of Edgar Allan Poe. That one was very fascinating because you don't realize, it seems very character-driven, but it's actually a reader imagination-driven experience that he was really going for. He really wanted to create the horror in the mind. And what happens when we sort of put that on stage? So not only that, we have a number of parodies. And I think parodies are a really great doorway for something like Shakespeare. Alison Williams has a number of them with us. Hamlet, Drop Dead Juliet. And what they do is they take the original text as a base and exaggerate it. And it makes for not only a great doorway if you're perhaps with middle school students and you want to sort of introduce them to this world, but also as an analysis exercise. Use the original Romeo and Juliet and compare and contrast it with Drop Dead Juliet. How does a scene from one compare and contrast to the derivative version, right? Lots of stuff here, lots of opportunities to take theater into the curriculum to make it matter to your, maybe your administrators as much as it matters to you, as it always has mattered to you, right? Okay, so go to theaterfolk.com, check out the category Classical Adaptations. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk, and you can find us on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Got very excited over adaptations there. What does that say about me? Oh, I don't know. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.